Okay, we were talking about open doors until you're so sick of the word open door, you don't even want to sing the song anymore. And we understand that. All right, so let's just read again Acts 16, 6 to 10, because that's where we left off last time. I think we more or less covered it, but can we just read that again? Acts 16, verse 6. And it says, "And now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." Forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach. They tried to go.
Yes, noble.
They obviously felt something good in their spirit. They obviously felt that it was a green light, right?
Yes.
So do you see why we say that green lights, you may sense a going, you may sense it's okay, but that's why we have red lights. That's why Kenneth Hagin said God leads us more by red lights than green lights. Because ever have a meeting with your child, you don't tell them the 1,700 things that they're doing right. You tell them the three things that they're doing wrong. Yeah. Now, you should try to tell them some good things, too, so you don't break their spirit. But the point is, the emphasis is on the failure, not on the success, because we're trying to turn the failure into a success. Yeah, right. Do you understand? Yeah. So when God is leading us, the green or the sense of this is, feels good to me, this feels right to me, if you just sense that, you step out and move forward. Yeah. Because we've got this other system. Where he, if it's off, if it's wrong, he's going to check us on that stepping out and say, whoa, 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 whoa. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And if he doesn't check you, then step out. But here's the problem. We do that on major things.
Yeah,
that's what I was talking about on Sunday. That's where we miss it. You can't do things that are going to change the trajectory of your life with a little, I don't know, that feels nice. You don't do that. You sit before the Lord. You wait before the Lord. You put that before the Lord and then say, Father, I need not just a green. I need a clear green if I'm going to go forward with this. And Lord, if I, listen, just because this is not an exact science, if I think I have a solid green, which a lot of people do, but it's my soul more than my spirit because it's connected like bone and marrow. And I could still miss it. Lord, I'm trusting that I've waited on you. This is a big decision, and I am stepping out by faith now because it feels green. It feels velvety. It feels good. Yes. But if I'm still missing it,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thank you for the correction of the red.
Amen.
Because the red is my rescue.
Yes.
Do you understand? And it's so important on big things that you don't just go with a sense. You go with a waiting, and that green is distinct. Or as you wait, it could get redder and redder and redder as you wait. And then obviously, then you don't make that decision, right? But here, you know, notice how they were trying to go. Did you see this? And when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So they were already moving. And then the Spirit of God forbade them. Notice he forbade them to preach the gospel. He's not only going to forbid you to do bad things. He's going to forbid you to do good things. Well, maybe I should help this person. Well, maybe you should check.
Yes. Maybe you should check. Good.
You know the pressure people put on me to have a food bank here? And it helps people. People are hungry and they need food. And they do. But I didn't check. And it was a pain in my rump. Big time. And it was a pain in Lorraine's rump. And every other person that organized it. Why? Because it's a good idea that has nothing to do, is that the perfect will of God for us? It's good to preach the gospel in Asia. There are people that need to get born again. But the Holy Ghost, for whatever his reason, and we don't know why, and he's not even going to tell you half the time why. Just trust him. If he says no, so he will prompt you away from even good things. But if you're not sure, start going. If it's not a big deal, if it's not a big deal, do you understand? So obviously, in this case, you know, they're on a trip and it's like, you know, we're here. Let's go over to this city. That's not necessarily a life-threatening deal. That's not going to change the trajectory of your life. You're not marrying somebody.
True.
You know, it's just, let's just go over there and preach here and then we'll go over there. I mean, they're moving.
Yeah.
But as so, it's not a big deal, so to speak. So they're going with what feels good.
Yeah.
Do you understand? But the Holy Ghost, thank God for the Holy Ghost, forbids you, no. Because he's the boss, not your good, noble, helping people intentions. And I'm telling you, in this day and age, and you better listen to me, especially my staff and my board, you better listen to me. In this day and age, God is not interested primarily in what we think is helping people. He's interested with his plan and his perfect will. And if that doesn't look like what we thought it would, tough luck. It's his perfect will. I'm serious. Because you can get derailed, waste time, waste money, waste energy, get distracted, hold back what God's real plan was because you're messing over here in the garden where he wants you to go over there. Are you listening? So don't get out of your mind all this stuff about, well, it's good, it helps you. That has got nothing to do with anything. Amen. What matters is knowing God's plan. Amen. Because here they were preaching to get people born again, eternal salvation.
Yes.
And God still said, no.
No. Amen.
That says a lot to me.
Yes, it does.
Oh, my God. And they were come. Now, see, did they miss this, Greg? It didn't say they missed it, did it? There's no correction here. You bad person, you missed it. That's not, I don't see that here, do you? And they were come to Mysia. And they essayed or tried to go to Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not. He allowed them not. Again. So they're not bad people. This is Paul, okay, who went to heaven. Who had the revelation of the New Testament. I mean, I think he would know a little bit about how to be led by the Spirit, wouldn't you? Since he wrote, talked about in Romans, being led by the Spirit. He authored it by the Spirit, authored it through him. So he is making movement, because obviously it's not a life or death situation. He's making movement. He's living a life of prayer. And as it seems good, but not all what seems good is good, that's why we have that red light. And he obeyed that. See, if you don't obey that, that's how you get in big trouble. That's how you die young. That's how you get sick. I'm just showing this because this goes with red lights, but also the subject of open doors, right? It seemed that God was opening a door.
Yes.
But then he realized, I don't think God opened that door. Mm-hmm. The devil opened that door.
That's right.
Because the devil's got a plan to do something. And the Holy Ghost closed that door by forbidding them. Yeah. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So you can look at this from the red light perspective. You can also look at that in the open door perspective. It seemed that there's an open door. Check. As you're starting to head that way, did God open that door? Because if he didn't, there'll be that red light. There'll be that check. What does that mean? He's shutting the door. Don't push it open because it's good to help people. Or because it's going to make you money. Or because of whatever. Right? We're hammering this because I'm telling you, this is so critical. Praise God. I'm not sure if Deanne is here tonight. She's not here tonight. Okay, well, we can all, next time you see Deanne, just say you missed it. Could you do that? Because she had a testimony to share, but she missed it because she ain't here. Just make sure you rub it in. Just rub the salt into the wound a little bit. She's a missionary, so she has to toughen up a little bit, take a little bit of rubbing. Praise God. What I wanted her to just share for 30 seconds, this was her big moment. This was her big moment. And I didn't tell her because anyway, praise God. She's probably, listen, she just had surgery. So she is recovering from surgery. So that's okay. There's no loss here. No problem. But would have preferred her to say it, not me, is because she's got some very big decisions to make on the mission field and with her children and with a total change of trajectory. Do you understand? And so what she's been telling me, she said, Pastor, for 2 months or so, all I do day and night is I just listen to this series. I go, because this is what, now the 20-somethingth part? And I just go and I play it, and then I'll play it again until I feel, okay, I've got what I need from that, and then I'll play the next one, and I just play day and night. She said, I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just saying if you're hungry to learn, you're not going to get it at one feeding. You're not. And if you're serious about it and you really want to learn, instead of watching so much television or wasting time, because we waste time on social media so much and on all this stuff out there, listen. Listen again. Get another feeding. Because you might hear something the third time you never heard the first time. Are you listening to me? Because there's a lot coming out in a one-hour message. And you really, your brain can't really, just your natural brain can't absorb everything.
No.
And your spirit is, if you're like me, I'm like a, you know, if somebody says something like David, you know, and now my spirit starts going after that thing. And I'm not listening to him anymore. Because I'm like, whoa. Because God's dealing with me about something. And I'm like, okay, Lord, what are you saying about that? And I maybe write some notes down and you think I'm writing his sermon. I'm not writing his sermon at all. or I might be writing a sermon, so don't judge me. But God is dealing with me in the message about something in my life. And to be honest with you, it's more important that I listen to the Holy Ghost at that moment. Because that's the moment he decided to talk to me. I don't say, don't you know that this is a sermon going on? You can talk to me later while I'm going to focus on David. You don't do that. Because he won't talk to you later. Believe me, I've tried. It doesn't work. But I that's what I do. I get off if God's speaking to me, which he doesn't always. But then I'll get off. And then maybe 10 minutes later, 20 minutes later, I click back in. I have no idea what he's talking about because I've missed 20 minutes. But then as I'm going, something else, I'm off like a dog on a hunt. Oh, boy. And then I don't even know what he said the rest of the message because now I'm focusing on that. So for me, I have to listen to it again because half the time I don't know what they said. Now, if God's not talking to you, pay attention and get everything you can. Yeah. But many times, because you're in the place of help, that's right. God will start talking to you about your life. Yeah. And at that moment, listen to him. Okay? But then go back and make sure you listen with an open heart, not just while you're cooking or driving, because how can you really concentrate when you're cooking? You'll burn your food. You can do that if you want, but take some time and sit there with a pen and paper and say, Lord, I'm listening until you, and I'm going to write down revelation as you give it to me. Do you understand? I'm sorry for taking that bunny trail, but I'm just saying, like, you got to listen. And she said, it's so important to me, Pastor Craig, I don't make mistakes in this new season because my life depends on it. And I realize my help is in my pastor's office. And the message series that you're teaching is my answer. And I'm not going to get it the first time. And I've been listening for 2 months, day and night, over and over and over again. But there's some fruit that's coming out of that. Praise God. Because now I can see what's God's hand and what's happening. And things are working. Things are starting to happen. And she's starting to pick this up, which I already knew. But I was waiting for her to pick it up. And she's picking it up. And other things she's picked up that I haven't picked up, but I'm praying about it, and the Lord's saying she's got that right. You see, she's learning to be led. Amen. But you gotta renew your mind, and you gotta have a real prayer life. Yes. Praise the Lord. You still with me? Yes. And they passing by, Messiah came down to Troas. So he's twice the Holy Ghost, red lights, closed doors. And a vision appeared. Now remember, we go by the inner witness, but you can't, if God gives you a vision, that's fine. You still got to filter it through the inner witness. But in his case, he had a vision in the night. What does that really mean? I mean, it says vision in a night. I don't know if that's a dream or if it's at night or if he actually had an open vision at night. I don't know which it is. Some people think it's a dream because it's specified night. Other people think it's an open vision. Doesn't really matter, does it? And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him. That means begging him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored. So it seems to me like it was an actual vision, not just a dream, but it happened to be at nighttime. Immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering. See, assuredly, if you look at it in the Greek, it means there is a peace. There is a confidence inside. Which is really the inner witness. Yeah. Assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel to them. Hallelujah. But before they hit the right place, they made multiple mistakes. But it's not that they're bad people. And it's not that they're stupid. It's that we don't always know everything. Yeah. And just accept that. This is not a scientific formula where you're always going to know everything. There is a nuance to this that you're just going to have to learn the ebbs and flows of the Spirit. And if it feels kind of good and it's not the end of the world and not life-threatening and not life trajectory changing, then just start to move in that direction. Dip into your spirit and start to move because you've got the Holy Ghost. He's got you. Amen. He loves you. He wants to protect you. But when you feel that check, when you feel, don't violate that. Then listen and then, well, I don't know what to do now. Well, go where you think you should. Check your spirit. Where does it feel okay? And if you're like them and you're making another mistake and he checks you, don't feel bad. They didn't feel bad. You don't see here they repented. You don't see God's using rebuking language. You see this is our life. We are walking with God. And we're trying and he sees we're trying, but he doesn't want that. Now we're trying. He sees we're trying. He doesn't want that. Now what do we do? Oh, I see this thing. I know in my spirit. We go there. Do you see the movement? That's what I'm trying to show you. See, it looked like open doors, but because they checked, God, they knew it. Because of the check, they knew the door had closed. Are you with me?
Yes.
And that's what, so it's really both a red light teaching and a check and green and the whole thing. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, and have a look at 1 Corinthians 16:9 for me, just for a second. 1 Corinthians 16:9. Now, you know, Dad Hagin said the most important thing you can teach a believer. Notice he didn't say love walk, even though he said, I work on my love walk more than anything else. He didn't say faith, even though his ministry is called the shield of faith. He said the most important thing you can teach a believer is how to be led by the Spirit. Being led by, that's why we're taking time, because this is the most important subject. You've got to get this. I've got to just wash it over you over and over until it starts to stick. I'm serious. It can change your life. It can change your life. It can change your life. Hallelujah. Let me give you, I can't give specifics because it would be inappropriate, but I'm dealing with a situation today. This is hot off the press. And I know, you know, there's a situation that I faced and with somebody, and I'm trying to do something, and I'm trying to follow God, and it's corrective in nature, I want to be a good person. I don't want to be a hard person. Do you understand? But I also don't want to be floppy either, because I'm getting in trouble with God. And so I just knew in my spirit, do this. Just no words. I just know it. Because every time I think about doing this other thing, I know it's wrong. So I'm just headed in that direction. I'm just going in that direction. But there's pushback. There's people that don't like things. There's people that get offended. And then you kind of pause for a second because you don't want collateral damage. So I check again, Lord, like I don't want a problem here. Am I being too, is this too much? Am I, you know, it's good to humble yourself and check. You know, because we can miss things. Yes. And I just know it in here. Just keep going. So no, this is what I'm doing. No. I know you don't like it. This is what I'm doing. Yes. This is what I've decided. My wife and I have decided this. Mm-hmm. It's something nothing to do with this church. It's another situation. But anyway. Yes. So I'm not doing that. Whoa. People are very pushy. Yes. That's what I find. Yes. They deserve a good slap, most people. But you can't slap people over the phone. Have you noticed that? You just slapped the phone, but they didn't feel nothing. And so I'm trying to be sweet. I'm a Christian. These are not Christians. I'm trying to be a Christian because I'm also a witness. They know I'm a pastor. They're probably, oh, God, I hope they're not watching. Oh, Jesus, God is with us. And I'm trying, but you know, I don't want to be a bad witness. There's all these emotions. I'm just checking. I just back up a little bit. I just know, go. So I'm done. I've made the decision. It's done. Whatever fallout or not fallout, it's over. Yeah. It's over. But while I'm shaving for church tonight, it's over. While I'm shaving for church tonight, I heard God speak to me while I'm shaving loud, strong, and clear, and told me, you did the right thing. And he quoted me a scripture about why that was the right thing, which I didn't even think of that scripture. I'm talking distinct. I stopped the shaver and I said, oh my Lord, thank you, Jesus. You just confirmed. But all day, I have to just follow this knowing, even with pushback, even with people getting upset, even with people getting offended. But I know he could have said it at the morning to give me the courage to say, well, I know that I know because God said. But sometimes he don't do that. I'm trying to teach you something. Sometimes he'll just let you follow that to see what you're going to do. And then when you pass that test and you do what he's prompting you in your spirit, not all the time, but many times he'll come to you afterward and he'll just confirm and encourage and just let you know bold and strong. You did the right thing. This is why you did the right thing. I didn't explain all that to you before. I didn't give you the scripture before. You just had to go with that inner witness because you knew it was right.
Wow. That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah. Good. Let's learn. Hallelujah. Let's learn. Live your life checking the inward witness. This is a daily thing, brother and sister. You don't take breaks when you're on holiday on the beach. Okay? You don't take breaks. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know where you turn, 1 Corinthians 16:9. Okay. For a great door. We're talking about doors, right? An effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. So here's another reference to doors. And this is a ministry door. All of these things I've given you are ministry related. Do you notice that? So we talk about doors, about marriage, and that could be fine. We got doors about money, and that could be fine. But scripturally, the doors are about ministry. I'm not saying you can't have other doors, but I'm just saying, just be aware that you keep you keep understanding the context of what God is saying. And most of the references in the New Testament where the word door is mentioned is something to do with the ability or the openness to preach and help people and ministry-related things. It's not normally personal-related things, although it does, certainly doesn't cancel out personal things. You with me? But did you notice here that it says a great door and is open unto me? Obviously, God is opening the door. Right? The way he's saying that. So he's already checked his spirit. He already knows this is God. God is authoring the open door. But did you notice there was an attack associated with the door? Yes. But when I was studying this, I heard the Lord speak to me and say, did you notice it says great? Yes. Not every door has an attack. Great doors have attacks. Great doors have attacks. Little doors, they don't carry attacks. You just do it. But great doors hold attacks. So anytime you're changing seasons, that's a great door. Listen, coming into a third phase out of four phases of ministry over the course of an entire human lifetime and God speaking so much last year about this year, that is a great door. Yes. Why are we surprised, Jenny, that there's been so much movement, so much change, so much upheaval, so much correction, so much dealing with us, dealing with others, dealing with departments. Why? Why? And there's so much attack and so much bombardment and so much all these things. Because we are walking through the threshold of a great and effectual door right now in this season of Promise of Life. So we shouldn't be that shocked. That sometimes things are, so listen, don't lose your confidence about this is the beginning of the increased years of Hebron. You don't lose that confidence because there's some adversaries. We're still in the great years. We're still in the beginning of the increased years. This is still going to be the best year of our life. I believe with all my heart. But that doesn't mean that there's not adversaries. Increase doesn't, we didn't say no attacks. We just said the year, God said this is the beginning of the years of increase. And if you notice, when Isaac had 100-fold, what happened with him? All the people around him got jealous, started to talk about him, then tried to attack him and put mud in the wells. I mean, what did Jesus say? You're going to have 100-fold in this life and in the next. You're going to have it with? Did you hear what the few poultry people that know their Bible in this room said? You're going to have 100-fold in this life with persecution. So if you don't want persecution, don't believe in the prosperity message. Because why does God say that? Because he knows a lot of people out there don't want you to prosper. And the number one people are Christians. Not devils. Christians. Christians. That's what you know, we're the only prosperity preachers on the radio. And I don't even call us prosperity preachers. I don't even do that because I don't like that phrase. We're just gospel people. And the gospel includes prosperity. And I just say we're the voice of healing today. And other times I say we're the voice of peace today if we're talking about peace. We're the voice of righteousness today because the radio thing's called The Voice, right? And then when I'm talking about prosperity, and I know all the devils are going to get stirred up, I almost enjoy it. We're the voice of prosperity today. And you just know, you can just hear people turning off their radios. You can just hear it. You can just hear it, turning them off. I don't want to hear none of that nonsense, right? Well, I guess it's nonsense, right? Because all you do 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week is searching after prosperity. That's why you have a job. If you didn't have a job, you wouldn't care about prosperity. You have to have prosperity to eat, to live, to work, to do everything. So I guess it's not very important. You only give 40 hours a week to it. It's absurd. It's a religious spirit. That's what it is. It's a religious spirit. And somebody emailed me, a family member once, who, you know, because I just gave them an update. They said, you know, you seem tired. I said, well, I'm fine. You got bags under your eyes. I said, they're Louis Vuitton bags. Leave me alone. Yeah, right. Is everything okay? Is your church being mean to you? This is an unsafe family member. No, everything's fine. Everything's good. Church loves me. I got the best church in the world. Well, why do you look so tired? Because I'm going through some stuff, because I'm going through an effectual door. Then, yes. And then, well, what's going on? Well, we're selling, you know, we're getting rid of this pilot license. We're doing this, we're doing that. And he said, oh, well, thank God for that, because, you know, people are going to hate you if you have a plane. And, you know, preachers shouldn't have a plane. And he just started going on. And I just, you know, so I just took the opportunity. I just took it. And I just said, well, you know, our plane is pretty simple compared to the multi-million dollar jets that the people that I hang out with. So what would you say if I got one of those? And they conveniently didn't answer the email. I'm telling you, people don't like prosperity, yet they live their whole life wanting to prosper. Well, that's why they have GICs. That's why they have RSPs. Everything is to try to gain interest, but have a good investment. Why? So that I can get a little bit more money to live a little bit better life. Well, that's your whole goal. It shouldn't be our whole goal. Our whole goal is to get the gospel and prosperity follows us. But the sinners, their whole goal is that. And yet they have a problem that God wants you to prosper. And then Christians even more. Listen, get on the right side of this. We're not prosperity preachers, but we're gospel preachers, and you're a gospel believer, but the gospel carries prosperity. It does. Benny Hinn is not part of our camp. I don't know why I'm saying this, but somebody needs to hear it. He's not part of our faith camp. Okay? You understand that? He's not a word of faith person at all. In fact, he's against it. And I love Benny Hinn, and Benny Hinn is one of my heroes. So I can say that, because when you love somebody and they're a hero to you, you have a right to rebuke them a little bit. But he just don't think right about that. Because he's been told a lot of things that aren't true about it. And he's believed them, unfortunately. But let me tell you, he knows more about God. He's forgotten more about God than most people will ever learn. Forgotten, okay? But I watched him with his son-in-law, who has the church down in Florida, and they were interviewing him. And because, you know, people have attacked him because of prosperity. Because, you know, he did believe in prosperity. He got so much persecution, you wouldn't believe it. I mean persecution like vicious persecution. Like threatening to hurt, like maybe end his ministry at one point. Because he would teach about, like, that God wants it. So he stopped teaching about it for a while. Just sometimes you just do it to just catch your breath. But what he did do is he did a thorough Bible study. And people don't know this about Benny, but he's an excellent teacher. And he did a thorough Bible study from Genesis to Revelation and looked at every single time prosperity is mentioned in the gospel, then put it through the filter of the cross, then looked at it from the Pauline revelation, and he came up with basically it's like a doctorate he did. It wasn't with the university, but it was that kind of a study. Massive study over a long period of time, months and months and months. And he did this interview, and his son-in-law is saying, you know, Dad, you know, if you tell us it's wrong, we'll believe you because we trust you. But tell us what the Bible says. With that kind of, you know, thesis, you can't take hours to share everything. But he says, well, I'll just give you the synopsis. And he said, despite the persecution, and after thorough Bible study of in looking at it and interpreting it, I believe wisely. Remember, he's not a word of faith person. Do you understand? So usually if you're not, you don't like prosperity, because it's usually the word of faith people that always talk about prosperity. So you'd think he'd be against it. And he said, after thorough Bible investigation over many months, I am 100% and thoroughly convinced that prosperity is from God, that he wants us to prosper beyond our wildest dreams, and that Old and New Testament both validate that God wants us to have a full supply. And whatever that means to you, if that's 100,000 or 100 million, whatever that means to you, God wants you to prosper beyond your wildest dreams. I just said, amen, praise God. She said, I'm settling this. I don't care who likes me, who doesn't, who gives or who doesn't give, or what they say about me. I don't care. The Bible says it, and I go with the Bible, not with the people who write their little magazine articles. I don't know why I said that, but whoever is struggling in this church about prosperity, get over it and study your own Bible. It's in there. Why are we talking about that? Because that has nothing to do with this. Open doors. Listen, great doors have persecution. Great doors have adversaries. Not every door does. So when you're going into a season of change in your life, just barricade yourself up, take in more of the word, rest more in God, and be aware that the door, this is a door, but they do carry attack. But we're going to get through the attack. Amen? Any person that's going through a great affected door, if they'll just stay in the Spirit, they'll win.
True.
They just got to stay in the Spirit. Now, what about this one, Acts 14:27? We're still on doors, because Brother Greg said, Pastor Craig, you need to spend 7 weeks on doors. Acts 14:27. When we talk about doors, I want to give you some scriptures on it.
Thank you.
Oh, Lord, open a door for me. Well, it's probably going to be to preach. But it could be for other things, too. It's not wrong for it to be other things. But scripturally, if you said that, it's probably about ministry. Okay, just so that you understand scriptural context. And when they were come and had gathered, verse 27, Acts 14, when they'd come and gathered together the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. Notice again, the door is mentioned, but it's talking about a door for the ministry. And in this case, this was from Cornelius's experience. He was the first centurion that got, a secular man that got born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. But what was that called? That was called an open door. Okay, I'm just giving you some scriptures, not necessarily all of them. Now, there is another one. Most of them are referring to some type of door of ministry, door of preaching. Of course, we know we read last week from Revelations 3 that it can be just this, that says God will open a door, and what he opens, no man can shut. That didn't specify what door it was. So we know that door, because of Revelations 3, could apply really to any subject. Because of Revelations 3 does not specify what the subject was. So that gives us the doctrine to say, it's okay, God can open doors, you know, about marriage. God can open doors about money. I'm just saying most of the biblical examples where you see the word door is about preaching and ministry. Okay, you still with me? Yes. But there's also this one scripture which I think is interesting and special. And that is in the book of Revelations 3:20. And this has been misquoted so much by many people, and it's okay, they don't mean it, I've misquoted it too. Of course, Sue taught me to misquote this, so we'll just look to her for repentance now. No, I'm just kidding, Sue, just relax, it's okay, everything's gonna be okay. You're relaxed, good. Okay, it says now, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Oh, this is what we read when people get saved, right? And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. And will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down at my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear. The entire context of this entire passage, of which this is one verse only, is spoken to believers. Look at the context of the scripture you're reading. This is to one of the seven churches. You can't be in the church if you're not a believer. Okay? Churches are for believers. So he is saying to a believer, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. How could it be for salvation? Yeah. Now, there's nothing wrong with using that in an altar call. God is standing at the door of your heart. Hallelujah. And he's knocking. We can do that, and that's fine. But the context of the scripture is not for an unbeliever. It's for a believer. Why would God stand at the door of your heart and knock? Why? If you're saved. To get your attention, but for what purpose? It says it right here in the verse. I want to come into him. That's why people think it's salvation. Well, he's not in. But the context is to a believer. So he's already in you from one perspective. But what is the other perspective? I will come into him and sup with him. And he with me. This is a scripture called the door of intimacy. You're already born again. As a born-again believer, he lives in you from that perspective, by faith, through the Holy Ghost. But Jesus is standing at the door every single day of your heart. There is a door in your heart, and he is knocking on that door, and he is saying, I want to fellowship. I want to have lunch with you. You know, when you have lunch, you never notice that today everybody's on their phones in the restaurant? So Jenny and I decided that that's what our fellowship would be, scrolling while we wait for the food. But then I thought to myself, this is not right. This is not right. Here we are having dinner and we're scrolling on our phones, and every person in the restaurant was doing the same thing because this is the modern age. And I looked at her and I said, put your phone down, woman. But of course, I made sure I had put mine down first. And then she said, well, you're looking at yours. I said, not for the last 30 seconds, I haven't. I said, we need to have a rule, no phones during dinner, and we need to look at each other, and we need to talk, and we need to tell each other things about our life, and whether we know it or not, say it again. I know I'm good looking, tell me again. Just tell me again. Let's talk about people in the congregation and make fun of them. Let's just do it. I'm just kidding. Relax, I don't do that. My point is that when you're supposed to be supping with somebody, which is having a meal, until the smartphone came out, which ruined the entire universe in 2004, but until Apple ruined everything with a smartphone, and I do hold fast on my opinion on that, before that happened, we actually communicated by interaction. And people in the restaurants looking at each other. And people at the bus stations were just looking around at the birds or reading their book. I'm not anti-technology, okay? I'm just saying it's changed our life, and we've got to fight to stay in the middle of the road, because it will pull you into the ditch in a lot of little different areas. It really will. Supping, eating is about fellowship. They've been eating since the garden. It's one thing human beings have always done, and they do it the same way. You put food in, you chew, you swallow. It doesn't matter what culture or how smart you are, how much money you have, you eat the same way. And for centuries and millennia, they have been eating over fellowship. To connect,
yes.
To talk,
yes.
To feel,
yes.
To get to know you better.
Yes.
So when he says, I want to come in and eat with you, that is a reference to intimacy.
Yes.
Because when you eat, you're supposed to be intimate. You're supposed to connect with that person. It's a chance to connect over a meal. What Jesus is saying is to a believer, you're already born again, and by faith I'm already in you,
yes.
But I don't know you that well. So I'm knocking on the door of your heart to say, can I get to know you? Are you on your phone, or can I have dinner with you when we get to know each other?
Amen.
And every day he's knocking on the door. So you're talking about, Lord, open a door to me. Why don't you open the door to him?
Amen.
Oh, if God would just open a door. If God would just give me an open door, I'd buy that business. Open your own door. Don't talk about the doors. Open your door and say, Jesus, let's talk. And in the conversation, he'll tell you about the open door in your life that he's about to open, or the door he's about to close.
Yes.
Right? So this open door of intimacy is a really important thing for all of us. It really is. Every day, remember, he's knocking on the door of your heart. Praise the Lord. You didn't like that, so we'll just move on. I can tell, Greg, they did not like that one. They don't want to be told to spend time with Jesus. But we all need to be told. Hallelujah. We all need to be told to spend more time with Jesus and put your phones away when you're having dinner with your wife and your husband. Praise God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. And if you're crossing the road, I almost ran somebody over yesterday. I'm serious. The light was red for them. They were on their phone. They're like a zombie and they're walking. I had to screech my brakes. And don't forget how loud I landed that horn. And they dropped their phone. I said, you deserve that. You're going to kill yourself. Anyway, I'm going to get back in the spirit now and back on the word. It's just a personal pet peeve of mine. It really is. It really is. But thank God for the electronics. Thank God for our phones, because we have the whole world of knowledge in our pocket. No other generation in history has had the whole planet Earth's knowledge on the internet in the pocket. Come on. What a privilege that is. But just keep it before, don't look at it when you're crossing the street or when you're driving. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jennifer, you need to stop looking at it when you're driving. Okay. I'm trying to protect you, Jennifer. I'm trying to protect you. Just trying to bring correction to you. Just humble yourself and submit. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that I'm the pastor? And but now you got the mic up there, so I have to be very careful, because you could add stuff to the songs. Can I give you just some stories as I wind down this lengthy series? Because sometimes stories help illustrate things a little bit. So we're sitting at the table with Pastor Nancy in our green room during the last DMC meeting here that she had. And they started asking her, the minister, some questions about, the leading of the Spirit and different things. And I listened carefully. And she said, she said something very interesting to us ministers. She said, we know there's the leading. We know there's the inner voice of your spirit. We know there's this strong voice of the Holy Ghost. Right? Then there's that knowing, which is the inner witness. And she said, but, God is, I'm just sharing this because it made me think. She said, the further you go in God, now pay attention, because she's talking about further. And most of us are not there yet. The deeper waters you go in. She said, you can get to the point. I'm bringing this up because we're talking about the leading of the Spirit. So it doesn't apply to most of us. Just be careful that you don't run with this too fast. All right? Because most of us are not ready for this. But I'm telling you what's out there. It's out there. The deeper waters hold things that the shallow waters don't hold. And she said, when you get further out in God and you have that fellowship and that prayer life and that thing, she said, of course, we're always going with the inner witness. Don't get me wrong. But she said, many times you'll become so skillful with the quote-unquote leading of the Spirit, that you'll just sense something. You'll perceive something. And you'll be able to move on that. But you be very careful with that. Because I've just said, if you're making major decisions, don't go with a sense. Do you understand? But let me give you the story that is in the Scripture. I think, well, there's two ways to look at this, but I think getting on a boat, a ship, that's going into a storm that could kill you is kind of a big decision, right? The problem is Paul's got no choice. He's a prisoner. They're putting him on the ship. He's not trying to get on the ship on his own. But I want you to notice, even so, he might have the check, but you can't tell the soldier, I have a check, we can't go. They're just going to beat you with their club and say, move it, buddy. But I want you to notice that even on that story with the ship, if you read that in Acts, even on that story, he didn't say that there was a, he didn't refer to the inward witness, he didn't refer to the voice of God. There was no vision, there was no nothing. He just said, I perceive. I perceive. That means he has trained his spirit to pick things up by the Holy Ghost. How do you get to that place? That's deep waters. How do you get there? You have to, for a long time, you have to become very skillful and very faithful following the inward witness. You have to know the inward witness inside out, back to front, and left and right, and up and down. You have to know that inner witness so well, because as you have yielded to that unction, that leading, thousands and thousands of times, you can listen to me. I don't want to throw you off. I'm just giving you a little bit of extra that you can get to the point where your own spirit senses things. That's what he's talking about. I perceive. That wasn't God. That wasn't the Holy Ghost revealing that to him by the inward witness or speaking to him. That was his own spirit, so sensitive that he could perceive certain things. His spirit knew things were going to happen. And he then, of course, if he was not in chains, he wouldn't have got on the boat. But because he is in chains, he's got no choice. They're pushing him on the boat. But still, even under that kind of duress where you're a prisoner and where they're mistreating you, you know, the Romans weren't kind. That he was probably bleeding and hurting and whatever, and he's going now eventually to be executed. But even in that stressful situation, listen to me, he trained his spirit from a lifetime, so to speak, because I know he didn't have his whole life in this, but he trained his spirit to listen to that unction, to that leading so much. He was so sensitive on the inside that without the Holy Ghost even bearing witness, his spirit picked up things that were about to happen. That's called perception. That's called a sense. Are you listening? Yeah. Now, if you're not very skillful with following that, don't rely on your sense. Because you will make big mistakes. And I would never rely on the sense for big things. At least I'm not at that place. But Pastor was encouraging the masters there. And she was saying, well, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the inner witness. And we know we're skillful. We've learned that. But she said, you know, you can get to a place in God where you've so trained your human spirit to listen to the Holy Ghost that your own spirit will pick things up before the Holy Ghost even gives you that knowing. Where you'll perceive and you'll sense and you'll know, and you can get to the place where you can even make decisions based on that perception. But not yet. That's not for laymen. That's for ministers that have been in this for a long time. And what she's trying to say is, she's not trying to lessen the Holy Ghost or lessen the inward. That's not what she's saying. She's just saying, boys, she's talking to us pastors, train your spirits. Train your spirit. Your spirit can pick things up before God even shows you, because your spirit is living with the Holy Ghost as a roommate. Your spirit can sense things. Your spirit can know things. I'm serious. Now, that's another level, because that's deeper and not quite as distinct and not quite as cut and dry and black and white and in a box as the leading of the Spirit or the inward witness, because it's kind of an X factor that it's hard to put your English words on, but there is something called perception. I'm just giving you things that you know. There's more out there. There's more out there. I remember I was sitting, Pastor Anthony, my youth pastor, was sitting in the meeting with all the pastors at Evangel, and this wonderful man from India had come, Pastor Joseph. He had like, I don't know, 10,000 churches, massive, massive, massive. Evangel sowed thousands, tens, hundreds of thousands of dollars into their work, and they were having, he was our guest for that week, and we were having services, and they had this big board slash staff / pastoral meeting with like 30 people. Of course, I'm not invited. I'm just the associate youth pastor. You don't get invited to those as an associate. But of course, I have a key to every room in the building. So, you know, I just snuck into a side room and listened. But anyway, I wasn't supposed to be there. But Pastor, I couldn't hear everything very well through the door, you know. But I said, Pastor, I didn't quite hear everything. You know, you shouldn't be doing that, Craig. Well, then don't give me a key. Anyway, so I said, what happened? Because I heard like a little bit of a back and forth there. And he says, oh, well, you know, Pastor Bud, the senior pastor, was asking Pastor Joseph a question because, you know, they were invested, the church and other churches had invested a large amount of money, and he had to make a decision of how to use this money, and it's a pretty big deal. It's a lot of money, and it could affect his ministry greatly, one way or the other. You don't want to make a mistake like that. And so Pastor Joseph was telling the leaders, he's like, yeah, we're going to do this. But they'd only brought it up in that meeting. And he hadn't had time to pray. So one of the associates, sometimes it's better just keep your mouth shut. But when you're talking to a general, just and you're the associate, just keep your mouth shut. But the associate decided that he was unwise because he hadn't prayed. So he brought it up in front of all the other pastors and Pastor Bud and said, Dr. Joseph, I really think we're talking about a lot of money here. Don't you think you should go and pray? And he answered very sweet. He was a very humble man, very sweet man. He humbled and he said, when you know God like I do, you don't have to pray. Now, you see, that causes people to stumble because people that are simple go, well, everything you have to pray. But you can have a life of prayer. Do you know what I mean by pray without ceasing? You can have such a fellowship, if you go into the deeper waters, such a fellowship with God, where he's with you and you're with him literally every waking day, every waking moment of the day. Most people don't live like that, but you can get to that place. Dad Hagen lived in that place. Yeah. In his later years, Dr. Joseph lived in that place where he was, that is a life of prayer. He didn't need to go kneel down and pray. God is there with him at that moment in that meeting. He didn't have to pray because he knew. Now, he didn't specify if it was the inner witness, if it was the inner voice, if it was the authoritative voice, meaning of his spirit or of the Holy Ghost, or if it was a perception. He didn't specify which category, but he just said, I don't need to even go ask God, I know. That's another level, brother and sister, especially when you're dealing with big things. Dealing with little things, practice on the little things. Well, Lord, I don't necessarily have to pray about that, I just know. But things that aren't going to really hurt you if you mess it up. But when you're dealing with very big things, to get to the place in your life where you just know God to that measure, amen. I'm telling you, I long for that. Yes. You see, this should give you an appetite. Yes. Do you know that you can know God that well? Yes. Where you don't even have to talk to him about things? You just know because he's there and you feel him and you feel his smile and you feel his frown. Yes. And you know he's smiling, but you don't know how to explain it, but you just know because you know him. I love that. When you know God the way I do, you don't need to pray. I mean, it sounds like an oxymoronic statement. It sounds like a non-religious statement, but it's true. Because people that don't know God always have to run to talk to God. But people that know God, you can know things. And then you can get so far out there that your own spirit, without God even showing you, is picking things up because it's so sensitive. You've schooled your senses. The Bible says in Hebrews, you can govern and school your senses. That's your spirit man's senses to know things. But just be very careful if you do that because you can make mistakes. So you got to go with that inner witness. You got to get skillful with that before you talk about the perceptions. Yeah. Are you with me? Yeah. I got to make sure I clarify this because I don't want people getting in trouble now. Yeah. Well, Pastor told me I don't even need to pray. I mean, that's what I hear. That's what I hear. Pastor said, don't even pray. And you don't even need God to show you, and you just go with what you feel. And I feel I need another wife. No, that's not what I'm saying. Okay? Help us, Jesus. There is so much in God. You know, when you're around people that know God better than you, and you have a humble heart to listen, and then they start what Pastor Laketic says, getting into the cookie jar, meaning, you know, you're getting into the sweet stuff, into the good stuff, and you're just praying that you pick the right people to sit at the table with you and that some person's not going to open their big mouth and ruin the whole thing by talking to Pastor Nancy about their big vision. And we just kind of, oh dear, I have the right people. And I'm looking, oh God, yes, they're all spiritual men. They'll shut up. And we get in that cookie jar and she just starts talking. And she just starts talking. And she just starts talking. And then that richness starts coming out. And then you start to learn things that she'll never teach in that pulpit. But because in a private setting, there's a different anointing than in a public setting. Right? That's why I even have to select the people that serve. Because I've had times where I felt that anointing lift off her. And I've said to her privately, Mom, what happened? She said, the anointing lifted. I said, why? She goes, that server you've got there caused the anointing to lift. Oh, yeah. That's why you have to be very sensitive and very hand-selected to be in that room. Do you understand that? Because if you're bustling around too much and making noise, that'll lift off her. If you're too inquisitive trying to listen, that'll lift off her. She said to me, not in our church, but another church, she said, see that person over there? Mm-hmm. Yes, Mom, I see. Don't sit me beside that person. Okay. That person's got a devil. I picked it up in my spirit. I'm repelled by that. There's a demon in that person. I don't want them anywhere near. And so, you know, I've even at times gone to the pastor and said, Pastor just wants to sit over here, not over there. I don't say the specifics. No. But I'm telling you, she can just walk in a room and know who's got devils. And she said, if I touch them, just like Dad Hagin, she said, if I touch them and pray, the Lord showed me exactly when those devils came, why they're there, how long they've been there, what was the open door. Now, that's a whole nother level, that's brother and sister. Level. Let me check with you. Nope. Praise God, you're free. Jennifer, you're free and clean. My God. But I'm just saying, when you're around people that have gone into another place and that know God another way and that have that understanding of the realm of the spirit that you are still learning, my God, it's such a privilege just to be around it, just to learn. And it gives me an appetite like, wow, I didn't even know that stuff was out there. There's so much out there that we've never even tasted. We've never even scratched the surface of in something called the realm of the spirit. If you want to learn it, it starts with praying in tongues, but it's not end there. But there's a whole journey, and you can get to the place where you walk with God day and night. You walk with him. You sleep with him. He's there. You know things. You sense things. You sense atmospheres. You know when things are wrong. You know when things are right. It takes decades to get there. But what I'm saying is if you're hungry enough and if you're humble enough and if you just want to learn, just keep going. Don't quit. Because there's whatever you think you're satisfied with, there's something far greater out there yonder. Hallelujah. Enough of all that. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord is good. On this note, let me say this. She also said about that sense. Oh, I thought this was interesting. She said, if the Holy Ghost corrects you and you get in the habit of ignoring it, you'll never get to perception level. Because you have to train your spirit by following the inward witness to be able to start to perceive. She said this, God will use your pastor to correct you. She said this to the pastors. She said, you want to help your people become more spirit-led? Correct them more. Are you listening to me? See, nobody said, not one person said amen to that one. She said, because if you correct them by the spirit, not just in your flesh, they have to learn how to respond to that correction. If they respond to the pastor's correction, which came from the Holy Ghost, but it came out of a man, if they'll learn to respond to that first in a humble way, they'll be positioned when the spirit corrects them, they will respond right to the spirit. Do you understand? You go with a human first. God teaches you with a person with skin on because it's easier to learn. So you want to be led by the Spirit, respond right to correction from the pulpit. Amen. Then you'll be positioned to respond right to correction directly from the Spirit. Then as you continue to respond right and get more sensitive, your whole life will take on a whole new aspect. But how you respond, that's what I'm trying to help you. She said, how your congregation respond to you from the pulpit will determine if they can be Spirit-led or not. Because you can't even respond right to me, you know, how are you going to respond right to someone you can't see? You with me? So responding is very important. Responding to correction is very important. Responding to correction when I call you. when I call you into the green room and say, I've got to talk to you about something, and I'm going to say it nicely, but you better listen. That is very, very important that you respond right. But what about when I'm just preaching? And the Holy Ghost inside you checks you on something and says, you need to make an adjustment. How do you respond to that? Well, okay. You're not going to have a life of being led by the Spirit. I can guarantee you that. You can't follow, if you can't trust somebody who God is using with flesh on, you won't trust somebody who is God himself without flesh on. So when there's correction, humble your heart. Humble, humble, humble your heart. Humble your heart. Humble your heart. Lord, I humble myself under your mighty hand. It's not the past, it's not the man, Pastor Craig, that is correcting me. Because if you, then you will stumble. But I'm better looking than him, which of course isn't true, but you know, you'll say that. I'm better looking than him. I'm smarter than him. That's probably true. I've got more education. I'm older. Most of you are older. You're very old. But you understand, Jenny, if I'm trying to make it easy to swallow tonight. I'm adding a bit of humor so that you'll smile, okay? But listen, if you look at me, with all my frailties and flaws and amazing physique, if you just look at me, and then there's a correction, you'll go, who the heck does he think he is? I'm serious. But look at the office. Take it from the office. The Spirit is speaking to you through a gift. He gave you the gift as an office. Listen to that office, because if God is speaking to you, and only you'll know, you don't have to put your hand up and sign the register at the front, God spoke to me this service and corrected me. You don't have to sign that. Keep it private. But if that's you, listen. Take it from the office, not from the human. You have to have a human vocal cord to use. But take it from the office, because it's coming from the Spirit through an office. Yeah. Forget the person. It's coming from the Holy Ghost through an office. You've got to learn to receive that right. Yeah. Because if you can't receive it from somebody you can see, you'll never, ever be skillful in receiving it from somebody who you can't see. And if you can't get skillful with who you can see, which is that inward witness, you'll never forget about going out of the deeper waters, walking in rooms and knowing things. Sensing things, knowing who has devils and who don't. Knowing if there's something wrong here, if there's danger here or not. Having perceptions and senses because you've trained your spirit. Your spirit will start to know things before the Holy Ghost even tells you. Paul had that with the ship. God didn't tell him. He had trained his spirit so much, he said, there's going to be a problem. But you better listen to me. Now, God also aided with that angel and said, now nobody's going to die. So there was the Lord with an angelic aid, but notice there was a perception that was happening. I just think that that's amazing to me, because it shows me there's so much more out there than what we really know when it comes to knowing God. And it should give you a hunger to want. That's the reason I'm saying, is not to make you confused. It's to make you go, oh my, I want to know more. I want to sense more. I want to just know God so well that when I'm talking to that new friend that I think is so great, that I'm not just looking at the greatness, but I'm aware. Yes. God is watching that person. Yes. God is going to tell me, is that person going to aid you or hurt you? Yes. Is that person going to be safe? Are they going to lead you into this problem? And when I'm dealing with that business partner, God is watching that business partner. Yes. God is with me. I'm not alone in this. I can get to the point where I'm listening to what he's saying without even praying, because my whole life is one big prayer. Yeah. I want that, Jenny. Yes. I want that. And I'll have it in Jesus' name, because I'm hungry for it. Amen. And I'm working toward it just like you are. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I quote her. She said, if you don't respond when your pastor checks you, you won't be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's checks. Quote, unquote. I think that's enough for tonight. I got some other cool stories to tell you. But if I tell you all now, you won't come back. So we'll got some cool stories to share with you next Wednesday. Next Wednesday is story night. Remember kindergarten? Okay. We're going to have milk for you. We're going to have a blanket. Everybody gets a blanket and iodine. Everybody will have iodine. You know the kindergarten? Yeah. Iodine and milk and cookies. And next Wednesday night will be story night, because I'm just going to finish the series off by just telling, unless he tells me to keep going. But at this point, I'm hoping he'll let me end this series. It's only been 40-something parts. So let's just try to end it. But if you'll let me. But I'm going to just tell you stories of where I've missed it. I'm going to tell you stories when I was riding a motorcycle. I got in an accident. Only accident I ever got in. I'll tell you stories about... almost, you know, what we could have, but we didn't, die in Guatemala. I just want to talk to you about some stuff because there's a different aspect and angle and facet of every story about how God leads you. And I've taken a long time to just sit there and say, Lord, what about that situation? How did that work? And then he'll show me and I'll write it down. What about that situation? Why did that happen? I don't understand that. And he'll show me and I'll write it down. I want to share you some of those with you next week. Okay, so bring your blankies. We're not providing them. Bring your blankies, bring your milk and cookies, and I'll provide the iodine, and we're going to have a great night. Come on, you got to admit, you do smile a bit when you come to church. You got to admit. Come on now. My wife said, honey, you're so animated. I said, I'm not trying to be animated. I just see things very weirdly in my mind, and I try to express it. Father, as we give our tithes and our offerings to you tonight, we thank you that we're learning and we're hungry and the deep waters of the leading and knowing God is out ahead of us, and we are so excited to swim deeper, and that gives us a desire to pray more and to listen to you more and to learn to be more sensitive to that inner witness, and we're going to have that because you knock and we're answering and we're saying, Jesus, have dinner with me. I want to spend time talking to you today. I want to get to know you. I want to get to know your spirit. I want to get to know how you lead me. Lord, some of these people need to do what I've done and take times in their life where maybe things were rescued or maybe things went wrong or maybe things went right and say, Lord, help me understand how you were leading me in that situation. It would be a fascinating study for them to learn how involved God really is, and we don't even know it half the time. So, Lord, we thank you for this series, albeit long. It's been so important and so precious. We're not quite done yet. We'll just go until you say to stop. But we're learning. And I just sense tonight there's such an emphasis in my spirit of the deeper waters. There's more out there, son, that you don't even know. There's more out there Pastor Nancy doesn't know. There's more out there even Kenneth E. Hagin didn't know. There is more out there in God because he's fathomless. He is eternal. He is the depth of God. Remember, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2, it says the Spirit of God searches out the deep things of God. God has depth to him, eternal depths. Oh, we're just scratching the surface. Praise God. We've got all eternity to try to fathom him. That's going to take forever. It may never happen because he's that deep. He's that big and he's that wide. But we're on a journey. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us in this life, not just when we get there, but in this life, we're on a journey to know you. Because really, the leading of the Spirit is all about knowing you, knowing what you want, knowing what you don't want, following your lead. We're learning, Lord. Thank you for this.